In the Garden on KFSK is brought to you by The Flower Farm, now taking orders for spring trees and shrubs at 772-3464. The Flower Farm, open every day except Wednesday, 10 to 5, 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.
Nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them is a culinary bummer.
In the Garden on KFSK is brought to you by The Flower Farm, now taking orders for spring trees and shrubs at 772-3464. The Flower Farm, open every day except Wednesday, 10 to 5, 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. Welcome to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with us on the line from Juneau, Master Gardener Extraordinaire and Grower of Apples, Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Ed. How are you today?
Well, pretty good. We're ripping and tearing, pulling out trees and moving them from one yard to another. We're making great progress, and I'm going to do some cleanup here.
Okay. Well, I promised everybody today that the topic today and in the garden is growing apples and kiwi, which you do both of.
We do. You got to see some of them. Your daughter even, well, you got to taste apples and, well, of course, the kiwis are not quite ripe yet. They still are not quite. They're getting close. Closer. Kiwis are probably a week to 2 weeks away from being ripe when they start. So I'm out there almost daily feeling, squeezing the kiwis, kind of like squeezing the peaches, you know? Anyway, fondling the kiwis. And when they start to soften a little bit, give under thumb and finger pressure, then that means it's about time to pick them and turn them, either eat them plain, just as is, or by the handful, or turn them into jams and jellies, or, I mean, my favorite is the kiwi pie, but we like pies. And the kiwis, and those, for that, again, having them a little on the firm side, kind of, and a little bit more tart, just like with apples, works well, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And to let everybody know, there is a picture of Ed with an apple and my daughter on KFSK's Facebook page. If you're wondering what Ed looks like, I put that that picture up there today, and Evelyn is holding one of Ed's apples. Yeah. Of course, that was a couple weeks ago. They're probably bigger by now.
After that, we weighed the apples that we picked. I guess I picked them the day before you showed up. We were concerned about bears coming in the yard and picking them themselves. And, of course, they don't pick nearly so neatly as we would. Usually damage a lot of branches. And, well, after we picked the neighbor's apples from his one yellow transparent apple tree, we got 75 pounds of apples. It was a surprisingly good crop this year, just because so many other places around here did not get much, including mine at home. I had a couple of trees that had enough apples for three pies, and these others were even better. Have lots. In fact, they were still working on them, and some will get turned into applesauce also. So this year, we're hoping next year is going to be much better. Partly last year was a cold, wet summer, and the trees didn't store up as much carbohydrates, to which then contributes to the following year's fruit crop. This year, since it has been such a great summer, should mean that next year they have the potential to have a good fruit crop, but that's also dependent on weather and timing when they bloom, because we need to have sunny, warm, not too windy days, so that the bees can be out there pollinating.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how nice the rest of summer is, if it's raining and blowing 40 and there's no bees pollinating, we're still not going to get any food.
Okay, Ed, before we go on, I'd like to invite people to call into the station at 772-3808 or 1-888-772-3808. If you've been growing apples or kiwi or both, we'd like to hear from you, see how yours grew this year. But Ed, can we start with apples, like from the beginning? Let's say, okay, I'd like to grow apples, never have before, and what do I need to do? What type of plants do I need to get, male and female? How far apart should they be? And tell me, when is the best time to plant them and all that jazz?
Okay. So first, of course, is location. It's all about location, having that sunny, well-drained location. That's really critical because apples do not grow well in the shade. They do not ripen well in the shade. I mean, the trees will grow, but not enthusiastically. But if you actually want to get ripe apples, you've got to have them in an area that has the potential for sunshine in a good year, we hope. Then choosing varieties. And varieties is important particularly for Southeast Bluff. We need early varieties, early ripening varieties. So usually if you're looking at a catalog, it should say that they're a summer apple, or they ripen in July, late July or August, which is down south timing usually. And we want to have varieties that are scab resistant, because we have a problem with apple scab, which is a fungal disease, very common all around Southeast. And even the little wild crab apples that grow along the upper beaches and even around some muskeg areas, they're even susceptible to the apple scab. And it looks like brown to black rough patches on the fruit. And the leaves can also be affected, and you'll have brown spots and somewhat distorted spots on the leaves. So, which, of course, aesthetically is not appealing on the apples, of course, when we go to eat them. So choosing the right varieties, and I mentioned Yellow Transparent is a partially scab-resistant variety, and it is a very old Russian variety dating back to the, 1800s at least. And they were grown and propagated and sent out from some of the old trees around Southeast Alaska, came out through the experiment station in Sitka back after the turn of the last century, back in the early 1900s. They experimented on a lot of others, but since then we have grown another variety that I like that actually came. I've got cuttings, took cuttings and grafted my own. Is one called Liveland Raspberry from the Sitka Experiment Station also, and that one is available commercially occasionally.
Okay.
And there's new varieties. A lot of work has been done breeding new varieties of scab-resistant and other disease-resistant apples. Some of the best are Wainuchi Early. Wainuchi spelled W-Y-N-O-O-C-H-E. Pristine, which is a yellow apple, crisp, tasty, good-eating apple. The Wainuchi is a green with a red blush, tends to be a little bit more on the tart side as it ripens. And William's Pride is another really good one, a beautiful deep red apple that as it gradually ripens. Mine right now are not ripe yet. They have a red blush, but gradually they will turn more and more red. And color is also kind of dependent on sunshine, too. The more sun we get, the better color they'll get. And the better sugars, the better tasting, better flavor our fruit will be.
The William's Pride, that's one that I've seen around here before.
Yes, and you asked about, how many do you need, male or female and all that. Well, Yellow Transparent is relatively self-fertile, and acts as a good pollinator for other varieties. Another good pollinator, and actually a good apple all by itself, especially for jelly, is one Dolgo crab, D-O-L-G-O, and that is another old Russian variety. Again, similar vintage, 1800s, early 1900s, and it's probably one of the largest crab apples. It's about an inch long, half inch in diameter. Gradually turns red-orange, and we've got some really nice ones downtown. I just saw this past week in Juneau, and they're a beautiful ornamental tree, gorgeous in flower, beautiful covered with fruit. And then they also have nice yellow-orange fall color. So ideally, you have at least two different varieties that will help in the cross-pollination process. And spacing, 15, depending on the rootstock that you get. Say if you're getting a semi-dwarf rootstock, the trees will grow to be 10 to 15 feet tall and wide in about 10 to 15 years. So then you space them out about that far also, 10 to 15 feet apart if you've got that much space. Or look at your neighbors, too, and see if they have trees that potentially would pollinate your trees.
Oh, okay.
Or encourage them to plant apple trees in their yard as well as in your yard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So two different varieties, 10 to 15 feet. You're planning that they're going to be about 10 to 15 taller wide, 10 to 15 years they'll be that, and then so we're planting them 10 to 15 feet apart.
Right. Now, you compare that to, there's a few old apple trees in Petersburg. There's more of them here in Juneau and some in Sitka. And the old trees, when they were grown on standard rootstocks, those would grow, has the potential to grow to be, 15 to 30 feet or more tall and wide. I mean, those are the ones, I don't know about you, but I at least grew up climbing in the apple trees and sitting up there eating green apples. Never got sick from eating a lot of green apples. And, well, we also had green apple fights, throwing them at each other. But anyway, but the problem is with smaller yards, you don't have the space to grow those, and the space also, the space to have multiple trees in a small yard. And the one other thing, too, is that a semi-dwarf tree or dwarf tree will more quickly mature and ripen fruit compared to these full-sized apple trees.
Right.
So, again, think about having, make sure if you're ordering trees from a nursery or whatever, that you're getting semi-dwarf varieties. One good rootstock to ask for is M7. It does well in southeast Alaska. And, again, just plan for your space. Work on improving a well-drained, maybe a large, you might come up with a large box or planting bed, potentially, to put these in. And you could still have some flowers or perennials or something like that around them, too, so that they contribute nicely overall to the landscape.
Ed, could you ever plant these in, like, a large container? Like, for instance, one of those big galvanized tubs?
With the dwarf trees, and there are dwarf, and sometimes they even call them mini dwarf trees, some of these will only grow to be 6 feet tall and, 4 to 6 feet wide. There are some columnar trees that likewise are possible that you could do that, but the problem is then for the winter, keeping them well sheltered enough so that the pot that they are in doesn't go through so much of the freezing thawing action. It's much more susceptible to being solidly frozen, thawing out, and frozen again. And that is deadly. It's bad for perennials, it's bad for most other trees and shrubs, and certainly isn't, apples are not any better at surviving that if you don't have some place to shelter it, buried in the ground, the whole pot, or put bags of leaves or bags of mulch or bags of styrofoam peanuts or something like that around them for insulation. In pots is a problem and not a guarantee of success.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about those huge galvanized, like, water troughs, that you see. And you see them more down south. People are using them to landscape with, but something like that, if you don't have...
Yeah, and that's, particularly, well, being galvanized, being metal, the cold penetrates that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So comparing that to some of the new pots that are made out of heavy-duty plastic, but it's almost like some are pretty thick, and they're almost like a foam, a heavy, sturdy foam plastic, which does insulate better.
Mm-hmm.
And, potentially, you think about what people use, what fishermen use in the holds of their boats for insulating their fish, the kind of flexible, half-inch or one-inch thick foam blankets. You could wrap your pots with something like that, potentially.
Oh, I see, uh-huh.
And so that might work.
Uh-huh. Okay. But better in the ground, of course. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they do. And then, again, because you've got a bigger root system, potentially, the roots have more room to move around, less of a problem with watering. The roots can spread out in search of water and nutrients, but you still need to be supplying them with nutrients and water, particularly the first year or two at least, depending on what the conditions are like.
Okay, Ed, should folks be thinking about planting these in the spring? Is it just kind of too late to be thinking about ordering up some apple trees right now, or should we be planning for that in the spring?
Yeah, I mean, you're not likely to be able to find them to order them this time of year.
Right.
But if you have a local nursery that has trees, certainly trees in pots, and whether it be fruit trees or other ornamental trees, any of those, this is a good time of year to be planting trees that are in pots.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, again, they too will do better in the ground than in the pots. So planting them now works well. Our soil moisture levels are good. We don't have to do much watering, although again, the first time or two we certainly should be. So if you have the opportunity to get some trees, certainly put them in the ground now, and they will be growing roots right until the ground freezes, if it freezes. Well, when, if and when. If we get snow cover, a lot of times the ground doesn't really freeze much, much below 4 to 8 inches or so deep. So roots that are down below there are essentially growing all winter long. And then the nice thing about that also is that then they get the right signals from Mother Nature, decreasing day length, lowering temperature, so they go dormant when they should, and then they ideally wake up in the springtime,
mm-hmm.
as they should too.
Right. Okay, if anybody has a question for Ed, we're talking about apple trees, and then we're moving on to kiwis. Call us at the radio station, 772-3808 or 1-888-772-3808. So, Ed, I have a kiwi vine that you gave me, and I can't remember. Is it a male or is it a female vine? Do you remember?
I gave you a male. That was
okay.
All that I had left right at this point. And then come springtime, I've already have ordered a whole bunch of females. I just happen to run out females. And usually for those, they do have separate male and female plants. So one male, possibly in the middle of two or three females, and they can be planted. You need a heavy-duty trellis. Certainly they'll grow on a chain link fence. They'll grow up if you've got deck posts and railings. You can train them up the posts and out onto the railings. It can work. You saw mine that are growing up into the alder tree. And I gotta top off the alder tree so they don't get too far out of reach is the other thing to think about. But again, they can be planted 6 to 8 feet apart or so, and again, the bees and the small flies will then find the males and move to the females and hopefully do what comes naturally.
I was surprised at how big the vines get on these kiwi vines. So if you're looking for a good place, you know, a good vine to trellis on a porch or somewhere, this vine would be perfect, even if you didn't get a hold of, you know, the male and female, if you just had the one, it would be just a nice ornamental looking vine, but a great, great vine if you have something that you want to cover up. Definitely.
Yeah, and the males do have more colorful leaves. So they have a variegated pink and white and green leaf. Normally turns yellow to orange in the fall, and some of them turn quite red, very nice in the fall. So, but again, the males are more ornamental if that's the only one you're going to go for. But again, think about, size of these vines. You know, they'll say in 10 years, they'll cover an area potentially, 5 to 10 feet high and 10 to 20 feet wide, or vice versa if you let them grow up the trees. So, you know, you got to leave them room. Commercially, they prune them quite hard. Commercially, they're actually pruned more like grapes, where they're grown on wires and they're pruned back severely. If you've ever been down in California or other places with grapevines, where they prune them down to stubs, basically, in late winter, about February or so. And then they re-sprout back quite vigorously from that. But, yeah, you saw that some of these had grown 6 to 8 feet just this summer. You know, just single stems of them have grown that much. So that's something to keep in mind. The variety that does best actually fruits for us is the male is called Arctic Beauty. And it's Colomicta, Colomicta, is the species of kiwi that is recommended. And they are hardy enough that they bloom and fruit, ripen in Fairbanks, outdoors. So So that kind of tells you something about their hardiness. They're native to northern China and southeastern Russia. So, kind of neighbors across the pond out there.
Mm-hmm. Do the fruit on these, Ed, are they the little green, is it got a fuzzy skin like the kind we buy in the grocery store? And
Nope, these are smooth. These are the size of the tip of your little finger. So like a, if you had a very large blueberry, elongated large blueberry, green, smooth, and like I said, when they start to soften, you pick them and eat them, just pop them in your mouth, and mm-hmm. they, remarkably enough, do taste like kiwis.
Great. So perfect for kids to just, they can just pop them in their mouths, like, it'd be great over
sure.
at the school.
Yep, and you can, you can turn them into raisins, you can dry them if you want, and make chewy little dried kiwis, which are quite tasty also. Like I mentioned, using pies, we have made jam. You almost need to add some different food coloring or something to them, because the color of the jam is not especially appealing. It's sort of a, kind of a dirty green, which doesn't look that great. So then you need to add something. I don't know if you have cherries or some red gooseberries or maybe some raspberries or something else that you can mix in for color to improve. Or currant. Red currants would be good.
That's what I was just thinking. Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, well, very informative. I'm excited about the kiwi vines. I'm excited about apples. We don't have a lot.
Yeah, the nice thing with the kiwis too, I do not have a pest problem with them. I have not had the bears go after them. Now I don't know if your deer will go for the kiwi vines either. I have not heard that people have a deer problem with them. One thing that's kind of weird that has happened, especially in the early days when I had just planted them, is that the neighbor's cats came over and actually were scratching along on the soil underneath them to expose roots. And so, and I've read this in books too, where they mentioned that it's something about attractiveness, like catnip almost.
Hmm.
Cats, they scratch this up and then they would lay down there. I found these little cat beds underneath there, and well, I chased the cats out of there a couple times. So again, you might want to have some sort of netting or something around there just to keep them away from that. And they were even chewing a little bit on the stems of the new growing kiwis. So, strange cat aphrodisiac or something.
Yeah. What about birds? Now, I know yours is an area that's kind of tricky for the birds to really get in and, eat the fruit, but have you ever seen...
Oh, little birds would hit. Yeah, I mean, that would be a perfect place for little birds to get in, certainly go in there.
Uh-huh.
But I have not noticed any numbers of birds. I mean, the robins don't bother them, and the jays don't seem to bother them. Really minimal. The only thing that really gets them is once they get very ripe, they fall off. So, I mean, literally you could, if you had a space underneath where you could, say, lay out a sheet, then you could shake the branches, and the ripest ones would fall off. Well, what happens at my house is they fall off, and then the slugs get them. So
uh-huh.
they do that, but the slugs don't necessarily climb up into the vines to chew on the fruit stone, unlike something like, strawberries, of course, which are usually down near the ground.
Okay.
So they're a great fruit, and again, they really have, there's no disease problems. They don't get any of the, like the scab and fungus diseases that some of the other fruits do. I mean, we have a problem with that with cherries. In Juneau, if you've got any cherries down there, we get black spots, fungus disease on the cherry fruits, and among other things. And of course, the raspberries, they can get kind of moldy if you don't pick them quickly enough.
Uh-huh.
So it's a pretty good fruit and grows well. It usually takes 2 to 3 years from the time you first plant them till you start getting fruit. That's if you're just thinking about how long it's going to take. And we go back to the apples. Normally something similar, because those first several years you want them to be growing a good strong root system and really not allowing them to have a whole bunch of fruit, because it takes a lot of energy, just like we mentioned with, from 1 year to the other and the trees storing up carbohydrates. It takes a lot of energy to ripen a crop of fruit. So if a young tree, especially these ones that are new from the nursery, a lot of times they'll bloom the first year. But you really don't want them to bear fruit, because it can artificially or prematurely dwarf them. And even I've had some of mine and other people tell me the same thing. They had a great crop of fruit one year, and next year the tree was dead. It used up all its energy ripening that fruit.
Okay.
So it's worth picking them off for those first couple of years.
Okay, well, yeah, those little trees we planted out at the school, they were bare root. And that was not this last Earth Day, maybe the Earth Day before that. And I think it was, yeah, just a little over a year ago, and it had a little fruit on it. I don't know. Somebody must have picked it. But next time I see that happening, I'll pick them again, pick them, so that it has another good year without fruit. Or is it okay
now?
That sounds
like a good idea. And that would, because you want these to survive, give them a couple of years, and then after that, and hopefully everything all comes together at once. You know, I have one good summer, and then the next summer, spring, they flower well with good weather, and then summer comes and they ripen, and things are wonderful.
Okay. Thank you, Ed, for all the great information about apples and kiwi.
Okay.
You didn't get
any
calls?
You're welcome, Mindy.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I'd like to hear if folks are having success down there with them, with any of those, and varieties too, you know, what they're doing down there. So let me know if you can.
Okay. Any other tips you want to give us in wrapping up the garden this month at all, Ed?
Well, as always, the cleanup work, certainly start tasting. If you've got apples, if you're lucky enough to have apples, taste the apples. See when they get to a point where they are, well, edible to you, whether you like tart apples or sweet apples. And get them off the trees as you can. I know deer definitely like apples, no doubt about it. And they like the apple trees, too. Porcupines like apples and the trees. Bears, they just like the apples. They don't care about the trees.
Okay, Ed.
So keep after it. Keep, you know, there's some kind of critter out there that certainly likes these. You know, whether it be four-legged pests or, you know, sometimes two-legged pests.
Okay. Well, just before we hang up, we did get a call here, so let's go ahead and take this caller on line one. Welcome to In the Garden.
Hi, Mindy and Ed. This is Lars.
Hi, Lars.
Hey, I got a question there. I got two apple trees and three cherry trees, and I actually got apples and cherries this year. But I need to know when is the best time to prune them.
Yes, pruning. Okay. So pruning, generally, we most often will wait till late spring. More like late winter, early spring. Late March, early April. And then as far as timing goes, now, the disadvantage of doing it that time of year is that you're going to prune, you might, depending on the size of the tree, you might be pruning off flower-bearing or fruit-bearing branches. But, on the other hand, some of those branches may need to be pruned if they're crossing and if they're tangled. Well, obviously, if they're any time of year, if you see dead branches, doesn't matter what time of year, if you see dead branches on a tree, cut them off.
Yeah, that's
what I was
wondering.
If you have broken branches, trim those off, you know, again, whether the bears are doing damage or something. You know, prune off dead and broken branches any time of year.
Yeah, I got a bunch of dead ones, so I was just wondering what time is the best time to do it.
Yep. Yeah, for those, prune them back to where you get into green, you know, green live wood. And this time of year is fine for that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lars. All right. Well, I think that's the only call we're going to get today, Ed, and we sure appreciate it. We won't keep you from your garden any longer. I know that you're always busy.
Yep, sounds good. And the other thing, of course, it's always good for fruit trees and berries and all that stuff is gather up seaweed. You know, that seaweed is coming to a beach near you. So when we get fall storms and such, and certainly spread it around the trees and helps all the different plants.
All right, Ed. We'll be talking to you. I think we have an appointment to talk on Monday, so I'll call you then.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you, Ed. Have a good day.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe but don't get a heart.
In the Garden on KFSK is brought to you by The Flower Farm, now taking orders for spring trees and shrubs at 772-3464. The Flower Farm, open every day except Wednesday, 10 to 5. 6 Rory's Road, Patkey's Landing.
What'll I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy.